So we're doing a series called Anything Can Happen, and we actually believe that anything can happen. And if you weren't here last Sunday night, we saw more baptisms in the evening than we saw in the morning. And our baptism pool actually got blocked with makeup and oil and gel. So anything can happen. We can even block up a baptismal pool. I didn't realize there were so many things in people's hair and on their faces, but it was all left in the baptismal pool, like an inch thick. So the guy who got baptized last got makeup at the same time. Anything can happen in this church. Anything can happen. So it's really, really exciting. You know, the last church that we handed over, I handed over and I was busy buying a car and I applied for credit, but I didn't have a job because I'd handed over the church. And so they wouldn't give me a deposit for my car. And so I didn't know really what to do. So I prayed. And I'd met Chris's brother once in London. And he's a financial guru in London. And I'd met him once at a church. And I was praying. I said, Lord, I don't know. What must I do? Must I cancel my car? What must I do? And Chris's brother phoned me from England and said, I was praying this morning in my devotions, and I felt God say, you need money today. And I said, yes, I do. He said, well, I felt God say I must give you an amount, which is the exact deposit I needed for my car. And I put it down, and through that, we became friends with Chris, and then our son went to the school, and he looked after our son. And then last night, the guy, Jerry, in London's son, landed at the airport in Johannesburg. I've never met him, and his flight was canceled. And they just phoned and said, well, do you mind hosting my son? I mean, 16 years ago, I gave you a deposit for a car. 16 years later, you're going to have my son in your house. God can do anything. Amen. Whenever he likes, however he likes, we've just got to say yes to Jesus. Amen? And so, we're looking through the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is a 30-year journey. So, from the beginning to the end, it's a 30-year journey. And it ends like this. The Lord Jesus Christ. Capital L, capital J, capital C. So I want to say to you, there is enormous amount of information that is coming at us all the time, most of it negative. Most of it negative. I was at the rugby yesterday, I went to one of my friends, unbelievable victory, people, the aeroplanes flying over, one of our pilots in our church on the aeroplane next door to it. So we've got all these amazing things happening, unbelievable win for South Africa, and then the brandy and coke kicks in. And we see this unbelievable fight taking place. Broken noses, broken hands, just people just, you think, where does that come from? Sure. Just, I mean, you should be celebrating. And this anger, and eventually I saw the guys outside standing there, the guys fighting. I walked back, I said, I want to finish the fight. And they got all defensive. And I said, what was that fight about? They said, we don't actually know. I thought, my goodness, you've broken a hand, you've broken a nose, and you don't know what it's about. But that's a little bit about what's going on inside. We're just swinging. We're just swinging and hoping to hit something. You know, or we can actually establish ourselves in something that is realistic, something that can actually hold us up in the midst of crisis. And that's why we're going through the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is not an easy journey. Sometimes he saves people and other times people get killed. And as people die, it says that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And so we don't actually panic when somebody dies, or sometimes he opens the prison doors. Over and over again in the book of Acts, we see these prison doors opening supernaturally. And other times he just leaves Paul in prison for 2 years. And you say, well, why am I in prison? Because God is on the throne and he's busy working and he wants us to change Pretoria. And he wants us to change South Africa. And so I've given the leaders 6 weeks' notice to get to understand the book of Acts without looking at notes, just to understand it. It works in 6 parts. And at the end of each part is a victory statement. And I want to share those 6 victory statements with you so that you can actually learn the book of Acts. If I was in any, or if I am in any form of trouble, I always go to Acts 8, Acts 9, Acts 10. That's what I do. It doesn't matter if I'm in financial trouble. It doesn't matter if I'm in relational trouble. If I'm in trouble, I go to 8, 9, and 10. And I just read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it. Because in chapter 8, he saves an African who's in finance. In chapter 9, he saves a Jew who's a professor of the law. In chapter 10, he saves an army Gentile. And if God can save an African in finance, a professor of theology in Judaism, and he can save an army guy who doesn't know God, if God can do those 3 things in 3 different ways, then surely he can fix my life up. And I just study it, and I study it, and I study it. I saw a young man, Baptist who we prayed for last week. He's come back again. He said, Rory, I'm coming back every single Sunday until God heals me. I'm going to keep coming back. I say, brilliant, my bud. The other people are coming back for other reasons. 8, 9, 10. God can do anything. And right now, he's setting some of you free from prison, and for the rest of some of you, he's just putting you into confinement. You think, God, where are you? He's busy. And Acts gives us a kind of an understanding that it's a 30-year plan, and it's not all about prosperity and victory. It's actually about developing character, becoming like Christ, and presenting him to a broken world. Amen? Over and over again. And so I've said this before, I'm going to just say it again. It's a little bit of a repeat, but I want you to understand, I would love every person in this church to have a working knowledge of Acts. You should be able to shut your eyes. I know Acts chapter 6 in my Bible finishes there. Acts chapter 9 finishes there. Acts chapter 12 finishes there, so that you can actually stand under pressure. And all the opposition in Acts happens with S's. I've said that before, but let me read them to you. This is how they happen. The Sadducees. And we know they're sad, you see. They're just miserable. These are the guys who got baptized in lemon juice. You got baptized in makeup. So put a smile on your face. You got free prop. There were some proper aunties that were getting baptized last week. That's not cheap makeup, guys. That's proper makeup. That's L'Oreal. And there were some proper fancy perfumes that went under the water last week. So stop being sad. But you know, the sad acts are the people, the move of God before us. And whenever God starts to move, the previous move of God people always resent it. Because they like to control. And I will show you through the book of Acts, there's absolutely no control system. What did you think about the screens up today, the background of the screens? Personally, I hated them. I did. I thought they're ridiculous. But I'm not in charge of the screens. So I don't control the screens. The guys who lead the songs, sometimes they're awesome songs, like today. Sometimes they're not so awesome. But I don't control the songs. Those guys are called by God, filled by God. They can hear God to put the songs up that they feel right. And the guys who are running the screens are experimenting because the Spirit of God is inside of them with different things. Do I like it? No, I don't. But it's not going to change the world. Next week it'll look different. More like I like it. I mean, sort of like, you know what I'm saying? Not that I'm persuasive or anything like that. You know, Donald Gordon, who started Liberty, he had 13 members of his board and he presented a new strategy to them. And they argued and argued and argued and they voted 13-1. And he said, gentlemen, seeing we are split down the middle on this decision, we'll reconvene tomorrow. Friends, we're not in charge. We don't have to control every detail of our lives. That's what the book of Acts is reminding us, that Jesus is in charge, his Spirit is operating, and we actually don't control the destiny of our own lives. God is in charge. Amen? The Sanhedrin was just a law court of very grumpy people. Like you don't like screens. There were storms, and Chase Pitzer is going through a storm right now called cancer. Sapphira and Ananias are the people that sell their land and try and kind of trick God. There's splits in the church. People split and people leave the church and they join other churches. Sorcery and snake bites and shipwrecks. What are you going through? But surely what you're going through, you can add it into that. But I was reading, I just read through the book of Acts 4 or 5 times this week, through the whole book, and I realized that all the promises are also S's. In Acts chapter 4, after they've been brought before, they've been beaten a couple of times, they've come before the Sanhedrin, they've come before the Sadducees, they're trying to argue, and when they get together, they just cry out this prayer, Sovereign Lord. Say that with me. Sovereign Lord. Say it, Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord. Let's say it loudly, Sovereign Lord. Let's cry it out, Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord. Let's cry it out, Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord. ANC, COVID, business, opposition, divorce, brokenness, abuse, Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord. South Africa, Eskom, water, Sovereign Lord. Say it with me, Sovereign Lord. Say it loudly, Sovereign Lord. That means He's in charge. That means He is perfectly in charge. Do not, friends, please do not allow the negativity of this nation to infiltrate you. The reason you come to church on Sunday is to be reminded of the character of God. I grew up in a home, some of you know this, where my father said, you can never say never and you can never say can't in my home. He was a self-made businessman who wasn't educated. He didn't have a matric, but he had a positive attitude. We don't live on positive attitude. We live on the character of Christ. But it was nice to grow up with a positive attitude. I say, oh, we'll never be able to. My dad would say, outside China. I say, but we can't outside China. Not in my house. And somehow that taught me something. Because friends, every time I speak, it's like a yuppie flu support group. How's your week been? Oh, I've had a bad week. And you, oh, had a terrible week. And you, it's like a plug that just sucks you down. And I've got the sovereign God in charge of my life. And you've got the opportunity to come to a building where people believe in Jesus. And we are front-footed and we're trusting God that when you go through the dip, He's still sovereign. Amen. He is still sovereign. Amen? In Gijs Bitzer's life right now, God is sovereign. Amen? The Spirit of God just operates all the way through. It says from the book of Genesis, it says, the Spirit of God was hovering. You know my friend, my Zulu friend Elliot, who died of COVID, he says the Spirit of God was hovering. Was hovering all over the earth, hovering, waiting to suck up one of you guys. The Scriptures. Friends, I sat with a friend of mine this week in George. And he said to me, he said, Rory, it's been a long time since I heard the voice of God. And I said to him, my mate, when last did you open the Bible? And he said, I don't open the Bible anymore. I said, God doesn't speak to you just in dreams. He does speak in dreams. He does speak in prophecy. But the number one way God speaks is in the Scriptures.
Yes.
He said, what must I do, Rory? I don't put heavy on people. I said, bud, don't try and do an hour a day. It's too long. Just take 10 minutes a day. Or start with 5. Take any book. Start with the book of John. Or the book of Acts. Or the book of Proverbs. Just start with one book. Read 5 minutes a day and have a pad next to you. And whatever jumps out, write it down. That's God speaking. But all the way through the book of Acts, he just said, they accepted the word. They accepted the word. They accepted the word. They accepted the word. You know what happened last Sunday? 100 people accepted the word. They accepted the word of an Ethiopian eunuch that says, why should I not be baptized? Imagine that, 100 people baptized because of an Ethiopian eunuch. What happens if you accept the words of Jesus? If you accept the words of, just accept them. Husband, lay down your life for your wife. Amen. I accept that word. Now I've got to outwork it. I can't accept it and reject it and accept it and reject it and accept it and reject it. I've got to just accept it. And then the kingdom comes and my marriage gets built on foundations. The supremacy of Christ finishes the last verse. Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Lord Jesus Christ. Gijs Bitzer, Lord Jesus Christ. You, sir, God's been working with you for the last few weeks, hasn't He? Yes, He has. He's been busy, eh? It's not makkelijk for the Afrikaans man to heal, nie, ne? Easy. Not really. I've been here a long time. Lord Jesus Christ. Capital L, capital J, capital C. Over everything. Over everything. The government get up and say, you can't preach in the schools. Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to write into the laws. Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stop. Lord Jesus Christ. Don't panic. We're meant to be in South Africa at this time with this Eskom, with the people who are in government. We're meant to be here. Lord Jesus Christ. Straight Street is the only name in the whole Bible that gets given, the only street in the whole Bible that gets given a name. And for those of you who have been here a long time, you say, oh, Rory, you've heard this before, but they're new members of this church. And Paul gets saved on Straight Street. And the whole his whole life, he is trying to bring people into the process of grace. And so there are two diversions in Christianity. One is called licentiousness, where we go and live a wild life. We take the grace of God and we think, well, I can go and do whatever I want to do. The other one is religious obedience, which is what a lot of the church in Pretoria do, where you lose the joy of serving God. And both of them are actually diversions from what God has called us to. And you think, well, but if I obey God and I do a few rules and I do a few things, I'm going to make God happier. No, that's called bondage. And this other one where I can just go and sin and then God's righteousness will be upon me. That's what we preach. We preach God. But that gets you into trouble. That you end up in the pigsty eating pig food. And so God has to get a guy saved called Paul who puts them on straight streets. He says, hey, guys, when the grace of God comes, you can't just carry on with your porno habit. I will forgive you. I will heal you. I will set you free. But come into the house and start walking on straight street. But don't go into law and legislation and obedience and fear and I must go to church twice on a Sunday and I must stop. Don't go into that. That's going to get you into trouble. Come into straight street. Amen? It's all the book of Acts. Are you with me, guys? And as we fight these things, I don't want to end up in Loftus-Versfeld breaking my hand and breaking my nose for nothing. I want to be in a fight that's worth it. No, seriously. I don't want a brandy and coke fight. I want a Spirit of God fight. I think, what is this all about? Yeah? And obviously supplication is just prayer. Just getting before God and praying. And we see that with the army commander in Acts chapter 10. It says he was busy praying. Cornelius was praying here. And 50 kilometers away, there was another man, Peter, praying over there. And as he prays and as Peter prays, God links them. I was praying in South Africa for a deposit for my car. Jerry was praying in England. And as we prayed, God connected us. I was praying in Pretoria. And Jerry was praying in England for his son, and God just connected us. So as you pray and somebody else prays, it doesn't matter if it's 50 k's away or 10,000 k's away, there's always an answer when there are two people praying. Yeah. Supplication. And so friends, as the Sanhedrin hit you, and the ships hit you, the shipwrecks hit you, and the snake bites hit you, and the storms hit you, and the sorcery hits you, you stand on the book of Acts. Are you with me? How are we doing? Are we okay? Are you following? Okay, so let's have a look at these six areas of, so the church gets formed in Acts chapter 4, 5, and 6. The church gets formed. There's some internal opposition, some external opposition, and that's how the church works. Some people not happy, saying, I don't like the screen, nor do I. I can never get hold of you. No, nor can I. So there's stuff. So we have teams, and we have people, and we put systems in place, and people get loved and looked after, and some people are grumpy, and then we send them to other people who are not so grumpy, and all gets sorted, and then the church gets built. And the first statement happens in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. It says, so the word of God spread. Say that, the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Victory statement. They've had all sorts of trouble. They've been beaten. They've gone to jail. They haven't given up the faith. They've kept preaching sovereign Lord. And you have this victory statement. The next verse says, now Stephen. Say, now Stephen. Now Stephen. And I want to tell you just one thing of what Stephen says. You can take that down. Stephen says this. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 48. However, the Most High, say Most High, does not live in houses made by men. Stephen? So God is breaking out from the full-time ministry guys, the pastors in the front, the guys who get special parkings, the guys who wear fancy shoes. He's breaking out from that, and he's saying, I'm going to use a guy called Stephen, and Stephen's going to preach a message that God will not live in a house made by a man. So 3CR, don't try and contain me in this building. I'm not going to live here. I'm also going to live in Leeuwendewoort. I'm also going to live in Doxodeo. I'm also going to live in NG Moroletta. And don't think that you've actually got the inside on the Christian track. Because that's why we don't preach our brand, because we can't, it's a beautiful building, it's lots of lovely people, we can't contain God here. And when people come to me and say, I want to leave, I'm going to join another church, I say, bless you, go well. I can't control you. You cannot control people. You can't contain God. And then we form denominations, the NG denomination, the Anglican denomination. We form denominations to get people to join a system that they have to stay in for the rest of their lives. You can't control God. And so this church gets formed in Acts. It's absolutely successful. Then God just says, I can't stay here in Jerusalem. I want to break out. And most of the reason of the opposition in Acts is because the Jews want to keep God in Jerusalem. He says, you can't confine me to a building. You can't confine me to a city. And you can't confine me to 3CI. So stop controlling it, Rory, and don't care about the screen. No, I'm being serious, friends, because we cross every T and dot every I, and there's no room for God to move. Yeah? And then Cornelius starts preaching, and he starts operating. And then Philip, and then Paul gets saved on Straight Street. And the next amazing scripture of victory is in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. I will teach you 6 things on that. And then I want you to stop moaning about South Africa, about the ANC, about Eskom, about load shedding. When it comes on at 8 and it trips because the Mooikloof power station can't keep Mooikloof on. And then the people who live in Mooikloof are not so mooi. They become unmooi. Yeah. And it's like board fight meander. They don't walk anymore. They start fighting. Guys, just let God, not let go and let God take his rightful place in your life. Wow. Let him take his rightful place in your life. And Paul gets saved. And this is how it ends in verse 31. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Victory statement number 2. Remember, 30 years, eh? I'm 54 now. I'm trusting God for 30 more years. In those 30 years, I've got to know there are going to be some Sadducees. There are going to be some shipwrecks. There are going to be some storms. There are going to be some snake bites. There are going to be some splits. There are going to be some people who leave the church, but I've got to hold on to God. Got to hold on to God. You can't take your immaturity. Hey, Rory, I haven't heard God for a long time. No, my mate, you must grow up now. You've served God for a long time. You're an amazing man. God saved you radically. You must start to read the Word again. God can speak to you. You mustn't bring your immaturity to church and get someone to pray for you. You must grow up in God. Read the scriptures. Get to know the Bible. Amen?
Yes.
Acts chapter 10. Well, the next verse says, as Peter. So if you've got your Bibles with you, as Peter. So the next section is about Peter. You have this victory statement. Peter gets some issues. He starts healing people. You know, Peter's an amazing guy. He just keeps messing up like me, and God keeps using him. It's a great. Whenever I'm in trouble, I just read Peter in Acts. And I think just a little bit before this, you were denying Christ. You were falling in the water. You were acting like a clown. You were going back fishing. And God just keeps using him. I said, God, will you keep using me, please? He says, yeah, absolutely, son. I'll keep using you. Amen. Just keep standing up. Keep standing up. Call people to baptism. Call them to repentance. You know what it says? I was reading this week over and over again. It says, and some Greek men and Greek women got saved. You're Greek here today. Today you're going to get saved. You think I'm joking? Today you Greeks are going to get saved. Today. Nico. George. And all you Oaks who own the whole fast food industry, Kentucky Fried Chicken, you mafia, we're going to catch you. Yes. Going to get your lives saved. And your business empires are going to serve God. Amen. He didn't give you so many Nandos just so you can eat chicken. So you can save the world. Amen. I like lemon and herb. Peter's a racist. Peter's a racist. And that's why a black man has to get saved first. In Pretoria, it's so good for us to preach about the African minister of finance who got saved, the Ethiopian eunuch, black man got saved. Peter's a racist. Racism was birthed here in Pretoria. Racism is going to be ended in Pretoria. Racism is going to be annulled in 3CI. We are going to welcome black people. Black people preaching, black people leading worship, black people on coffee duty, black people in the car park. Black people leading home groups. And our racist hearts have to be dealt with. And then we sexist and we've got all sorts of issues in our heart, just like Peter. And God had to deal with him. And then Peter started to deal. And as he dealt with him, people got saved. And he walks into the guy's house, Cornelius's house. Cornelius bends down on his knees and he says, Cornelius, stand up, for I'm a man just like you. May, friends, any person who ever walks into our church who kneels down because of some prejudice, may we pick them up and say, we are just like you. That's the book of Acts. We are just like you. We can look you eye to eye. Yeah? Acts chapter 12. I'll close with, what's the time? Sorry. We're nearly done. Are you with me? How are we going, Klinto? You okay? So this is what Acts chapter 12 says. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with his sword. Then he saw that this pleased the Jews. He proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So Herod's on the throne. James is dead. And Peter's in prison. The ANC is on the throne. And I know some ANC members are here. God bless you. You're not going to be on the throne for too much longer because Jesus is going to actually come and do some deep work. Herod's on the throne. James is dead. Peter's in prison. And all the Christians are freaking out. No, all the Christians are praying. All the Christians are praying. So when you come to church, friends, it doesn't matter what your circumstances, it can't be much worse than Acts chapter 12. You think, Flip, Christianity is going down, and if I join it, I'm going to get killed, and if I don't get killed, I'm going to get put in prison. God, please help us. And so they ask God to help. It says this in verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Say, earnestly praying. We should be on our knees, friends. This country needs an intervention of God. Needs an intervention of God. Look how it ends in chapter 12. Verse 21. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robe, sat on the throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a God, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and he died. But the word of God continued to increase and spread. Say, but the word of God continued to increase and spread. Herod's on the throne. James is dead. Peter's in prison. But the church prayed earnestly, and this is how it ends. Peter is free. Herod is dead. And the word of God is on the throne. Stop panicking. Stop panicking. Stop speaking negatively. Not never and can't because you have a dad who's positive. No, never and can't because you have a Jesus who's sovereign. Beautiful. Amen? Yeah. We'll finish the rest next week. I'm going to ask you to do this. It'll take you 2 hours. Read the book of Acts. Take a notepad, put it next to your thing with a pen, and say, Lord God, will you speak to me from the book of Acts as a South African citizen? Living in Pretoria, in the most influential. This is where all the wealth is. This is where all the decision makers are. This is where all the embassies are. We have got a doorway into Africa. We've got a doorway into the world. We've got the American embassy here. We've got the Russian embassy here. We've got the Ukrainian embassy here. We've got all the embassies here. We just need to ask God. We pray, they pray, He puts it together, and the gospel goes forward. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I do not shout and scream and say, I must be positive because I'm a positive person or I grew up in a positive home. But Lord God, when I read the book of Acts, it doesn't matter how tough it gets. It doesn't matter how challenging it gets. It seems that because of the resurrection, the disciples were prepared to put their bodies on the line. I don't want to be a man swinging fists aimlessly in Loftus-Versfeld, Lord God, punching somebody that I don't know why I'm punching them. I want to, Lord God, aim my punches towards the forward momentum of the church and the apostolic inheritance that you've called this church to do, Lord God. You've called us to raise up and release people into the nations of the world. We cannot control people's lives, Father. I pray for any person who's been controlled in any way by the church, including this church, that they would be set free completely today. That we are not meant to be under the control of human beings, Lord God. The role of leaders in the church is to serve people. The people are not meant to serve the leaders. The leaders are meant to serve the people, to free them up, to give them the understanding that they are called by God to change the world in whatever career you've called them to. Father, I pray for an impartation of your scriptures and of your spirit today, that people will understand they are free indeed. There's no fear. There's no fear. No condemnation. And Lord God, over 30 years, there will be many victory statements over people's lives. I pray those victory statements over the people of 3CR today and those who are visiting us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.